I'm a skeptical person.
I'm a sucker for a great smile.
I was shocked too.
It's not the typical way that I like to date a man.
No.
You know, I'm just trying to find love. Least favorite part was living in a house full of women.
I'm ready to find love, find a husband.
The perfect word is
Rachel!
Welcome to hell, everybody.
Oh, yeah, everyone's dying.
This has been an awful 2 days. 4 hours of this television.
Or a great 2 days.
Well, 4 hours.
We lost 60% of the cast.
We did, but then that also means that, you know, we did get rid of a lot of the chaff. That is good.
There was so much chaff.
The bad part is that we had to go through 4 hours of it. But my God, we got 3 rose ceremonies out of it. I mean, what a time to be alive.
3 rose ceremonies in 2 episodes, and also, like, 3 or 4 extra guys eliminated outside of rose ceremonies.
And again, which is insane, because where were all of these rose ceremonies when we needed them the most?
They
kind of
stockpiled them and released sandbagged in the rose ceremonies.
It doesn't work like that.
And yet here we are after like 6 episodes of TV and we're down to 6 guys, which is the right amount.
Yes.
We just took forever to get there.
Yeah. Like, I mean, everybody has said about the show, get back to the basics. I want structure. I want, you know, to know that every time I watch the show, the bracket, I don't have to go back and unlock it and relock it and figure it out. And no, that's insane. I want to live my life.
Listen, you don't go from 30 people to 1 person by keeping guys around.
Exactly.
Process of elimination. You got to get rid of 29 of them somehow.
You got to do it. You got to do it.
We got rid of like 10 of them at once.
I just feel like, and I think, I don't know if I've said this before, and I'm sure I have. I will repeat myself. Deal with it. It is very counterintuitive and counterproductive that the show would create a bracket for the program.
And then not stick to it.
And then not stick to the bracket. Like, why would you cannibalize yourself with social content that is attached to the show, a second screen experience, if you will, if you're not going to follow through on the content that's going to make people not want to play?
Yeah, here's how the show works. You start with a number of guys, you go on a couple of dates, whatever, and then you get rid of like 3 or 4 of them at the end of the episode. That's how every episode should work.
I mean, it's like, I mean, you wouldn't watch a football game if they said, oh, we're going to finish this game tomorrow. That's insane.
Yeah, you can't just get to the end of it and be like, yeah, we'll just keep playing extra quarters later, next week.
Like, I mean, there is overtime. There are tiebreakers in a football game. There are tiebreakers in any game. Somebody's got to win and somebody's got to lose. You can't keep drawing it out.
It would be different if this was like the end of this whole thing. And she was like, I'm having a really hard time picking between these
right.
two like, guys.
Right, like that I would accept. I would accept longer episodes and like her waiting like an extra 2 weeks to make the decision. That would be fine.
Let's start at the end of the road.
We lost a ton of people this week.
We lost a lot of people. Jesus. We're going to bang them out right now.
Let's do it.
First person we lost, one-on-one date elimination, which was entirely going to be an elimination the entire time, Jack Stone.
What a nightmare.
Jack Stone leans into the camera. Dude. Leans into the camera.
Stop,
so that he's...
Do it.
I'm doing it right now. Leaning into the microphone.
Don't show it to me.
Hopefully you guys can hear it. I'm leaning in.
He looks like a serial killer. Straight up. He looks like somebody that's like, I'm gonna kill you.
And thank God they let him go home, because the people living in the well in his house couldn't survive much longer
without him. They really couldn't. I mean,
they need him.
I think the nail in the coffin, you know, sorry to continue to bring up, you know, cult and murderer stuff, but it was when he said, like, as somebody who also lives in Dallas, the same city that she does, that you would want to spend the day with her locked in a room in bed. No, that's the wrong answer.
That's not a good line.
It's not a good
line.
Hey,
we can do anything. What do you want to do?
I want to lock ourselves in a home and lay the bed with you. Okay, weirdo.
Get out of here, Jack.
Jeez, Mary Joseph.
Get out of here. Let's move to the next guy, Iggy. Iggy had no moments of any actual meaning in this season.
Iggy was his own worst enemy, and every time he opened his mouth, he basically made enemies of everybody in the house and pretty much everybody watching at home. I feel really bad for him.
Iggy did 2 things. He starts drama with guys around petty stuff.
Drama.
And he sweats. That's it.
But everybody's sweaty. Like, I mean, that's the show.
Peter doesn't sweat.
Oh, he doesn't.
Let's keep going. Let's bang this home. Jonathan.
Who?
Jonathan tickle people, which is like a cute thing for the first night. And, I mean, you know, we're too deep for that.
He's a pediatrician. I'm sure he's very good with the kids. It's just not for me.
Not everybody's good at dating. Not everybody who's good at pediatrics is good at dating, you know?
That's true. I will accept that.
I hope he's good at the child doctoring.
I mean, clearly.
Let's keep going.
So we lost Lee this week. I just, you know, I can't feel bad about this because he is probably one of the worst people on the planet, and I hope everything in life that is bad happens to him and only to him.
Yeah, we'll talk about more of this when we get into the actual episode, but, you know, Lee's a problem. This is the big story of the first half of the season, is Lee rubbing people the wrong way in the house, and
right.
Now he's gone, and it's like a whole different show.
I'm just really upset that the fact that they have this opportunity with the first African-American bachelorette, and they have spent 6 weeks focused on a racially charged interaction where one person is very clearly the victim of something, and, you know, they feel like this is for entertainment value. Racism is not fun.
Yeah, it's a real problem for the show.
It is a massive problem.
They have done this on purpose, and it's a real problem for the show.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
No way to reward your first black bachelorette.
No way.
No way.
So, probably, see you never.
We'll go on. Let's talk about Josiah.
Josiah, this was a weird one because, you know, when he came onto the show, he had a great sob story. And, like, everybody that has a great sob story stays around for a long time. And
which is a weird, like, mechanism in the show.
Again, it is one of those things where it kind of makes you feel like, huh, this is a bad idea.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's like one of the unwritten rules of the show.
Yeah.
Is it like the more you've dealt with in your life?
Yeah, exactly. The more that you dealt with in your
the
life,
the longer you get to stay.
Exactly.
Like, air your grievances.
Exactly. Air your grievances. Like, you are so deserving of this experience. You deserve to go to Sweden because your mom died. Not that that is a bad thing, but I'm just, you know, that's how the show plays it.
Yeah, Josiah had a lot. He's a good guy. He's like, he has a good job. He's smart. He's attractive. But, like, he was so confident.
It was too...
He's too confident.
It was too much. And it was just like she said to him, she hit the nail on the head when, you know, she said, every time I talk to you, you never ask me about me, and you're never really talking about anything. You're always saying, like, these sort of, like, smooth lines that are platitudes that you, like, read from a book somewhere. And that's totally legit.
I'm sure that works for some women. But if, you know, here's a pro tip for all the women listening to our show,
ooh,
which is most of them.
Okay.
If you're on a date with a guy, he doesn't ask you about himself, stop dating that guy.
Yeah. Don't let a guy be David Caruso and Jade to you.
He should be interested in you.
Yeah. He should.
Should he be interested in you?
Shut up. Be David Caruso and Jade.
Then we lost Anthony.
This was a weird one, too.
Why weird?
Weird
because, like, how is he still on the show? Or weird because,
yes,
like,
how do
we have no personality about him after this deep?
Also true. Yep.
A lot of questions about Anthony.
Well, and then, you know, as he's a Fulbright scholar, he's great on paper, he's very ambitious, he's young, which is, you know, could be a problem in this situation. But, you know, there were a handful of moments where Anthony said some things that were extremely insightful. And it made me kind of rethink how I saw him.
He was deep.
He was very deep.
At the beginning, I didn't want to cheer for him because I was rooting for Adam over Anthony.
Of course. And
in the beginning, I was like, Anthony's boring. And he is boring.
Oh, yeah.
However, he's just deep. Maybe he's at a point in his life where he's so deep it doesn't connect with people, so he dumbs it down and bores it down.
I mean, I think that might be a problem with people that are Fulbright scholars and the like. You know, their minds are constantly racing and, you know, thinking about a lot of different things, and sometimes big thoughts scare small-minded people.
Maybe. Don't be boring. It's the number one sin.
It is.
Too bad for Anthony.
Next up is Kenny. We also lost him this week. This was, I think, Kenny has a lot of feelings.
Kenny's a big player in this season.
Kenny is a big player in this season, but he also has a lot of feelings, and I think he was affected by his own feelings. And frankly, he had a 10-year-old daughter. There's never been a situation where anybody on this show has won the program and had children. There have been people that have led the series, Jason Mesniak, right? I don't know if I'm saying that right. And Emily Maynard.
You know better than I do.
Emily Maynard both had children, but they were the leads on the show. So it just never would have happened. Like, And I don't think Rachel wants that.
Yeah, Kenny was really up and down. He started out so great, and then like he got dragged into the mud with Lee, yes. And then just when you think he's getting out of it, he drags himself back into it. And then like he's doing well with her, and then everything's going well, but then now all of a sudden he's melting down.
But I did feel like they at least did have an open and honest conversation about him leaving and, you know, where their relationship was at and what his concerns were. It seemed like it was to me.
I think she realized she wasn't going to pick him. And he realized she wasn't going to pick him.
It was
and
a they mercy, both just, it was they were a mercy both just, killing.
Well, they were both just like, listen, this is cool, but it's not going to happen, so let's both get on with our lives. They're both happy about it. Now some hard ones.
Oof.
Will. Will is a one-on-one date elimination.
Wow.
We'll talk about the date later.
Yeah, I will talk about that later. Will reminds me very much of people that I know from back home, and I can totally understand where Rachel is coming from.
Man, I like Will a lot.
I like Will too.
I really wanted Will. He is, I think, maybe the only person who has been in my power rankings every week.
This one really surprised me.
I like it Will. Really did. I like the smart guys. And Will was, he had no physicality, which is weird.
Yeah.
We're too chaste.
Yes. I hopefully will be able to explain it. And Eric kind of got there to sort of explain it to the rest of the guys too.
It's weird. Will's done everything right all season until the end of episode 6. Yes. His one-on-one date, he just blew it.
Yeah.
He's done everything right, and then he got the window, and he really messed up the one-on-one.
He tanked. And then we also lost Alex, which was a huge surprise, because, I mean, Alex has been great, like, great attitude, super fun, really intelligent, like, you know, he has all of the trappings of somebody that is like, yes, you're hot, you're big, you're smart, you're fun, you're funny. Like, he's, talk about a total package.
Yeah, I think he's a little bit weird, a little bit goofy.
Oh, that's cute.
Listen, I have Alex, in my beginning of the year when I did the like bracket, I have Alex finishing second.
Wow.
I loved him.
Jesus.
I think I had Eric winning, too, which is kind of starting to look like it might happen. But anyway... Yeah, Alex, we're going to miss him. He's a really good contestant. He brought a lot to the show.
He did.
But we're kind of also getting to the point where it's like not about how much fun they are for the group anymore. Now it's kind of just about how much she's into them.
Yeah.
So we're like one episode away from the group not even really existing.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, because after the hometown dates, they don't see each other anymore.
Before the hometown dates, they get down to four and they're like, well, see you later. This and they never see each other again.
See you later, bro.
So that's it. Let's get into the actual show, starting with what we saw at the beginning of the night Monday, which is Jack Stone's one-on-one date.
Well, I mean, we did start with the continuing of the drama between Lee and Kenny.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in the two-on-one.
We'll talk about that later. So I was surprised that Jack Stone did get a one-on-one date card. You know, because he kind of never really felt like somebody that was really truly a part of the group, had never really had anything very strong to say. But like Rachel said, they were good on paper. So they went out on a date and walked around somewhere and shucked and jived in Hilton Head, South Carolina. I mean, this really sounded like an awful date to me. But
I think this is a very common, like, wait, we're in, how many episodes are we in? And we still have how many guys left? Well, you got to get rid of somebody.
Yeah. You have to go on a one-on-one date where somebody didn't come home.
It was a sacrifice one-on-one date. And she was like, well, Jack Stone's losing, so I'll just forehead that guy out of this place.
Right. And she also mentioned, like, this was the most awkward thing. He went in to kiss her, and she was like, she tried to, like, swerve away and say, oh, no, I'm sick. And she was sick. Like, you could tell in that episode.
Sick,
like,
of Jack Stone trying to kiss her.
No, she was actually, I think, physically sick.
When you're sick.
I'm sick.
When you're sick and you're into somebody, you still let it happen.
I know. I mean, if Peter tried to come down on this while I had the flu, I would have been like, Daddy, come in here and
get
this.
After this one-on-one, I don't see you for a week, so you can get better.
That's right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. A very uneventful one-on-one date. She just had to get rid of him.
Like I said, the worst moment about it was him like saying to her, I would love to lock you in a room. Like, no, that's probably not a good idea.
He also said, I want to lay in bed with you. Which grammatically isn't correct.
Adam's gotten on me for that.
You
want to
lie
in
bed.
Yeah, great.
When it's your body, you're lying.
Great.
That's it. So, whatever. We lose Jack. We have a rose ceremony. We move this whole thing to Oslo.
Right.
Right?
And no announcement of where they're going or anything like that. Like, they just get up and walk out.
They've gotten so wrapped into keeping everyone on the show for as long as possible, they just forget the actual process.
Hey, literally, like, they don't send out a a day card. They don't send out, like, anything. I'm not going to read Reality C for the spoilers, but I am curious to read his recaps to hear what happened behind the scenes between these past few episodes, because it does seem very disjointed.
Yeah, no idea what's going on there. Yeah. So we end up in Oslo.
With a one-on-one date with Brian.
Yay!
Brian...
Or is it?
You know, Brian really scares me. And why? Scares me in the same way that Rachel is scared of him. You know, there's... She said on the show, he's 37 years old and he's single. Something has to be wrong with him. And you're right, because he's like this with every woman. And it seems, not to quote a word, that it seems, you know, insincere. And, you know, women pick up on that kind of thing. Like, there's just a vibe about him that doesn't make me feel like, I don't know.
He has the Josh Murray vibe. Taylor said this to me watching it. She goes, he's just like Josh Murray.
Yeah.
He's practiced.
Exactly it.
He's very practiced.
He's very rehearsed.
He has like a script where he's like, you know, he's complimentary and he's aggressive and all this stuff. But if he was really that good, he wouldn't be 37 and still single.
Exactly.
And like, listen, that's a bad excuse. You can't just be like, well, this person's old and still single, so they must have problems. That's not a legit thing, because the better you are, the pickier you are allowed to be.
Right.
That's just.
So you're saying Brian has just been picky this whole time?
No, I'm saying Brian got cheek implants.
Ooh, thank you. And I'm glad that somebody else has finally
said No, I'm not saying he's just been picky. I'm saying that is an answer. That is, to say that you're old and not with somebody, how are you still single, is not necessarily a valid argument.
Right.
He is weird, though. Brian has problems. So they go rappelling.
Yeah, they go rappelling.
And like, they do something like this every year where they're like, it's a really extreme sport. It's not
always
an extreme sport.
Always an adrenaline rush.
You're strapped into so many harnesses and gadgets, you couldn't sprain your ankle if you tried.
No, you couldn't.
So they go rappelling.
Right, and that's supposed to bring you closer to
an extreme sport where you sit and then move your hand side to side to allow the rope to drop, to let gravity drop you down.
Honey, it is pretty scary. I wouldn't want to do that.
Is it?
Yes.
The scariest part is putting on that harness that just ratchets into your
crouch
area.
You know what? Why don't you get up there? Why don't you get up there and do it, huh?
I have no problem rappelling.
Okay, great.
Anyway, so this happens. They have their moment. Brian, like, kisses her while they're rappelling, and he opens up. He's like, I'm opening up. I'm so vulnerable. I'm so great. And she eats it up, and, like...
She loves it.
This is another continuing fallacy in the show.
I just don't trust him. I really don't. And I mean, I know, guys, I was panty dropping for Brian at the beginning of the show. I know what I said. But, like, I don't know. There's something about him that I'm, like... And especially compared to, like, people who are very genuine, like Peter and Dean and, you know, Kenny. Like, guys like that, comparing them to Brian, they don't match. They just don't match.
Yeah, whatever. So Brian got a rose. He's still in, but I don't think either one of us is really.
He dropped the "I'm falling in love with you" phrase, so you know it's about to go down.
He's out of bullets.
It's about to go down.
So then we go on a group date where we play handball.
This was so fun.
This is a fun date. Like, there's a lot of physical challenges.
There's a lot of physical challenges in her season. There's a lot of things that involve sports. But the thing that I really notice is with all of the group dates, none of the guys are, like, pulling themselves away from the group date to say, I'm so sick of being on group dates. I hate this and blah, blah, blah.
Thank God.
Everybody is having a ton of fun with these things. And, like... They're very loose and, like, goofy and fun. And
maybe,
like,
they just pick up on the percent. Use it. You're on a group date? That's the only percent
maybe
you
they
get.
Pick
Use
up
it.
On the percent. Maybe they pick up on Rachel's confidence because she's really into it. And, you know, that makes them into it. I mean, all of those things could be true. Or maybe these guys just don't suck. Guys that suck usually say stuff like that.
That's definitely true.
Yeah.
So, on this group, they play handball, whatever.
It's Dean, Josiah, Anthony, Will, Peter, Pittsburgh Matt, Adam, Alex, and Eric.
So, a couple of things to note. One, Will is really good at it.
Will is very good at handball.
Will's, like, crazy good at it. Dean wears his jockstrap outside the unitard. Apparently you play handball in like a wrestling unitard.
Delightful. Thing, Dean was so cute with his jockstrap.
All these guys are jacked up. That's to note. Second thing to note, Peter is untouchable at group dates.
God!
Oh. He's so good.
He's so good at group dates.
So they're playing in opposite teams. Rachel's on like the red team, Peter's in the blue team, or I forget.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And so like, in the middle of all this, all the other guys are getting caught up in the game and who wins and who scores the most goals and all this stuff. And Peter is just like bodying her up and like he is just having a good time with
Rachel.
He
loves to pick Rachel up.
He's picking her up. He touched her boob. He's like.
It was so funny.
And all these other guys are looking at him like, wait a second. I should have been not paying attention to the game and actually just hitting on Rachel the whole time.
And Peter got out here and did it, and that's why.
And he does it, and he does it in front of everyone.
And that's why Peter wins every time.
Peter is probably the best group dater I think I've ever seen in the show.
And he's, like, so into it, and he's, like, engaged with the other guys while he's still using his percent to get in front of
Rachel. They're all just watching him date Rachel, and they like it.
Yeah, yeah, because Peter is perfect.
He isolates the two of them, and then everyone watches them.
Yeah.
And then we go to the like dinner or like the cocktail event after it.
Oh my god, this. And, yes.
And Peter's just like, listen, let's get out of here. So they get
No.
Sorry.
She asked him, do you want to get out of here?
So it's like part of every one of these cocktail things that each one of them gets their time one-on-one with Rachel. During Peter's, she's like, listen, there's a hot tub over here. What do you say we go get in it?
He's like, sure, yeah, let's go.
And they got in it.
It was great.
Sexually.
Now, allegedly. Now, somebody said on the episode, like, oh, you were gone for 3 hours. Were they really gone for 3 hours?
I think it's a makeup break.
I don't care.
I think she had to entirely redo her makeup because he messed it up and also the steam heat.
Yeah, daddy.
So, anyway, Will got the rose, but...
Which was well-deserved, just because he was so into it, and, like, they had really great conversation with one another, and I, you know, Will, at that time, was really rocking the show.
And I think the show and Rachel are both, in general, just making sure they go out of their way to disguise how obvious it is that Peter's winning. Well, Peter would get every rose at every date for the rest of forever if somebody didn't step in and be like, hey, listen... Keep the interest alive. Make this kind of a competition.
Well, and that's the only thing that, you know, I found to be really interesting in this season so far is that in every group date instance, Rachel has not duplicated a group date rose until, you know, this episode, which is 6 episodes in, which is not traditional.
That's deep. That's deep to be getting your first double up.
Yeah. I mean, usually people double up on stuff early on. Like, JoJo was giving Jordan Rogers double up roses every week. And so she has chosen, and I think that's more of a testament to who she is as a bachelorette and, you know, how she really is trying to get into this process and be very critically think about the process. She's doing a really good job at sharing the wealth with everybody.
Or maybe the producers are just like, listen, for a few seasons in a row, it's been really obvious who wins on, like, night one.
Can
so
you
just disguise it for a while.
Can you just fake it a little bit, please?
Like, you keep Peter in there. Just act like he isn't just
That would be him. Ideal.
So during this date, we also get the conversation with Josiah, which is like, you don't ask me about me.
Right.
And then they're like, they cut away to this little, her just talking. She's like, you know, Peter notices things about me that nobody else notices. And you're like, obviously
Peter, because he's perfect.
Listen, if you're a woman out there and you're looking for more advice after my first tidbit that I gave earlier, follow-up, if a guy notices things about you that other people don't notice, he's probably worth keeping around.
Date him.
He's going to continue doing that.
Date him.
You want to be with somebody who finds things to appreciate, not hammers things that you should appreciate about him.
Right, or talks about only him and not about you.
Right. That's it for the group date, right?
Okay, so on
So now
this...
we move into the...
Oh, God.
The Monday-Tuesday bridge finale. Mid-season finale. The Lee-Kenny two-on-one. Which is really just the two of them sitting around throwing accusations at the other one.
It has been really challenging for me to watch this show and have them focus so... strongly, it's so wholly on this sort of racially charged interaction between Lee and Kenny. I mean, Kenny is well within his right to scream at Lee and, you know, feel emotional about the way that he's being treated. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that Kenny needs to be docile. Kenny needs to be anything else other than himself. I mean, that the fact that he's even on that show is on the show, Lee, was so emotionally dangerous and physically dangerous to him, first of all, to Lee, physically dangerous, and emotionally dangerous for the other contestants and Rachel. It's so irresponsible. And I will never get over this. I will never get over this.
It's a really big problem for the show that Lee is... They basically... So every season, I had this realization a couple of days ago. Every season really only has about two or three storylines the entire season.
Right.
And those storylines are never like somebody wins or loses. That just happens as an afterthought at the end of the last episode. The storyline for the entire first half of the season is Lee starting fights with people in the house.
Right.
Not even fights... Fights with Kenny in the house.
Right.
Well,
he...
Everyone hates him.
He did start a fight with Eric, and then he realized that, oh, Eric is not going to have this. Let me move on to somebody else.
Everyone hates Lee, and Lee, I think, prefers to pick fights with Kenny. So they of course, they end up in the two-on-one.
And Kenny is very emotional. And that is, you know, it all goes together.
There's a solution to all of this. They're sitting around this two-on-one, and I feel really bad for Rachel because Lee's like, well, Kenny does this and this and this, and right. Kenny's like, well, Lee does this and this and this, and honestly, how is she supposed to know? Because she only sees them when they're in front of her, right?
And she already hates Lee. You can tell. And you can tell that the producers are making her...
They made this happen.
Yeah. Like, there could have been nothing that Lee could have said that would have made her feel like, oh... You're a sane person. I'm going to keep you on the show.
Yeah, he was gone. Here's what I think they should do. I think they should have done this, especially this season. When Lee and Kenny started accusing the other people of things, they should have brought out the game tape and just showed it to Rachel right there.
Yeah.
Like in the NFL, and somebody throws a challenge flag, and they just wheel out the replay, and they're like, yeah, this is what happened. I think they should have done that.
But, you know, just like we had discussed about the NFL previously, you know, they know how to end a show. The Bachelor.
Yes, yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
So the date goes the only way it can. Right. So Lee goes home, and then she goes to Kenny, basically, like, you have a potential elimination 101 date. We need to actually talk about this and make sure that you're, like, on the straight path here. And you're not, you know, shook up. And Kenny, in what could have been a season-losing move for him, like, walking toward the helicopter to leave with Rachel, just turns back and goes back and just gives Lee an earful, which, like, was probably deserved, but it doesn't matter because he's not on the show anymore. You've already won.
Right.
Just get in the helicopter with your girlfriend. You've already won.
Right.
It's over.
And Rachel even said, she's like, this is so stupid. Like, why, what is going on? This is so stupid. And, I mean, at this point, for her, it is frustrating to deal with because she... I'm sure she wants to help. I'm sure she wants to have some input and insight, but she can't because she doesn't really know what's going on in the house. So when, you know, Kenny goes back to sort of bum rush Lee, it seems really just like misplaced and kind of crazy.
Kenny's not using his percent. I mean, this is the end. This is the end of the beginning of the end for Kenny because at this point, it's clear. He doesn't want to be with her. He wants to go get his 2 cents in with Lee. And that's really a mistake.
And that's how it appears.
Just take the victory.
Exactly. But, you know, I will say, once they got to the evening part, you know, her conversations with a lot of these guys are really deep and really introspective and, you know, talking about relationships and life and that kind of thing. You know, it's very surprising and because we haven't seen somebody on the show that, you know, can talk like that, and it's so refreshing because she's just she's great.
And I think personally, I think Kenny is very good one-on-one.
Oh, very good, very good.
It's very difficult not to like him. I think the thing that she, I mean, and he won the second half of the two-on-one date. I just he gave it up. He lost it before then.
Yeah.
So
okay. So now we're done. We're done with episode one.
Whatever.
We did it. Yay.
Yay, 2 more hours. now we go to Copenhagen, or Copenhagen?
Denmark.
Denmark.
Yes.
We go there. We start with a one-on-one date with Eric, which I thought was going to be the beginning of the end for him.
Sure.
You may remember Eric all season has very, very big insecurity issues.
He is.
Where he doesn't understand really, the percent system.
Really insecure.
I mean, I'm sure he understands the percent system, like, out of 100. But, like, he doesn't understand that he only gets to see her a small fraction of the time and has to just assume that he's good enough to keep going.
And I think, you know, and now that we've been on this date and sort of he's talked about his family and how he grew up and, you know, having a mother who's emotionally unavailable and how that really colored a lot of his interactions with women and, you know, feeling needed, not necessarily feeling needed, but, you know, sort of getting that reciprocated love from a woman and what is that like and, you know, closing himself off immediately, because I'm sure he has done this as a result of his childhood, where he's like, oh, okay, well, it's very clear she doesn't like me back, so I'm just going to cut it off and be done with it, when that's not how the process works. So I get that now.
So I'm not a big... I don't buy Eric's sob story. I thought it was forced.
You don't like the emotional... do you believe it, or is
no,
it...
No, it's not that I don't believe it.
Okay.
It's that it's a fundamentally different story from what other people say. What Eric said basically is, listen, I had a good life. I got good grades. I went to good schools. I did sports. I did activities. I never did drugs, never drank, smoked, any of this stuff. Like, this is, like, I have had the ideal life with the, like, objectively.
Sure.
With the fact that subjectively, my mother didn't love me much.
Right.
Didn't, like, physically love me back, which is weird. Like, well, my parents really... died. Objective thing that happened.
Yeah.
You know, like, there are shades of how your parents love you.
Sure.
So number one, I feel that it's a very, like, unnecessary evil of the show that you have to come up with something devastating that's happened to you, because the reality is Eric should have just been able to say, I've had a pretty good life and I feel like I'm pretty well set up, you know, to find somebody. I'm just at a point in my life where I want to have a healthy relationship. There's nothing wrong with that. That should be enough.
Right. That should be enough. But, you know, everybody on this show has to feel at some point, you know, that Rachel can save them. Rachel can help you overcome your anything. Like, that's her job as the Bachelorette. But it was really nice to see Eric, like, fully and truly be himself and, like, have this carefree attitude about going to the amusement parks and spending time with Rachel and doing stuff with her. And it was really nice to see, because I had no idea that he was capable of that, because he's been so insecure and in his own head for so long.
Yeah. So this is really weird. Eric, the whole season, wildly insecure. Eric on this date, it's like on his way out the door, somebody was like, hey dude, women like confidence. And he was like,
oh,
he was like, maybe I'll give that a try.
I got it.
He was like singing and dancing the whole time. He was such a good time to be with.
Right.
And this Eric is great.
Yeah.
So this Eric could win the whole thing.
But again, like, this is a validation play. Like, you know, could you say that the only reason that he was like this was because he was validated? Or what?
I don't know. Which one's the real one?
Which one is the real question? Yes.
I'm sure she knows that too.
Right. But, you know, I still think that this Eric is the same Eric as the one that we saw, you know, after the final rose, you know, 6 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago, when he first introduced himself to her before anybody else. And, you know, I this is good for him. And this is definitely a strong play for the final four for him.
Oh, I think he's in. Yeah. I mean, well, actually, you know, spoiler alert, we're power ranking everybody now, so we'll talk about how we feel about everyone at the end.
Right.
But Eric could be something.
Eric could be something.
Let's keep going. Now we have the like, Viking Games group date.
This was Kenny's favorite date. So on this one, we had Kenny, Peter, Adam, Brian, Alex, Dean, and Matt.
How
so
is
basically...
Adam still on the show? You keep saying these on these dates. I don't remember him doing anything memorable. He just keeps sliding along.
I don't know. It sounds like you.
Slipping under the wire.
Sounds like you.
Is that like me?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a really aggressive dater.
No, you're a sneaky dater. You just start to fester until it's like, oh, you're here.
I play the slow game.
So, this was a really fun date. And, you know, just like I said, it's, you know, it's pretty deep into the show for the guys to be having this much fun with each other. So I think, again, it is a testament to the caliber of gentlemen that they have selected for the season, because you know, they're just a bunch of fun guys who like to hang out. Peter, now, of course, picked Rachel up again because, you know, show us your feats of strength, big guy.
Now that Lee's gone, everyone gets, they get along so well. And so, like, so here's what happens on this actual date. It's like Viking games, I said, but they get in this big boat and they row like Vikings to this like big green field, and then they like horse around with each other with shields and like play swords and stuff.
Kenny and Adam get hurt. Poor Kenny and Adam.
Yeah, Kenny and Adam get these fake Hollywood cuts on their eye, like, you know, like where Rocky says, "Cut me, Lou."
Yeah, it's like exactly there. The same.
And it's like, I've had that happen to me before. It doesn't hurt at all to get cut there, but it looks super badass. Yeah. So they both end up with these fights.
It does end up being a really cool scar because sometimes you can kind of see it in the right light. It's pretty dope.
On me, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I got scars all over my face.
I love that scar.
It's not my favorite one, though.
So they have this group date, whatever. It's nothing. There's no drama on the date. Everyone is really just having a good time. Yeah.
The evening portion is what's really fun and nice to see. With Brian, again, I still feel like he's really, really gross. And, you know, the thing that bothers me is that, you know, guys like Brian are 37-year-old chiropractors from Miami. And it's like, all of a sudden,
all the guys like Brian.
Yeah. Every guy,
they're all just like implants, that. You know the type.
You know, it's almost like he just woke up one day and was 37 and said, "I'm ready to get married now." Like, and this is such a feat of strength for him. He's so brave that, you know, he decided to get married at 37. You know, I just don't like that.
Brian's a weird guy.
I wouldn't even say he's weird. It's just he's,
I'll say it, he's weird.
He's not, he just, it seems like something else is going on. And then, you know, you could tell Rachel's really into him because they're already talking about his family. And she asked him, you know, the coded language of, does your family like me? Do they know I'm black? And is it going to be fine if I come over to the house? So she's picking him for the top four. We know that.
Yeah, man, I wish he wasn't. But you know what?
I mean, it's a race for fourth at this point. You know?
Is it? I think it's a race for third.
I think it's a race for fourth.
Well, we'll talk about it in power rankings.
So Peter got a little bit of PTE because he's cute. And then Kenny, you know, this is when he started to melt down.
Can we lead up to Kenny with what I would consider the moment of the season for Pittsburgh Matt?
The moment of the season for Pittsburgh Matt. So, yeah.
So she's talking to Pittsburgh Matt, right? And she's like, you know, he's nice. She's talking to him. It's going okay. And she's like, how is Kenny doing about it? How's Kenny doing right now?
Right, because he had been injured. And he and Pittsburgh Matt
were talking one-on-one back at the house a little bit before the group date.
And I think the two of them, like, switched places between when Rachel was going to be talking to Kenny and when Rachel was going to be talking to Matt. Like, they switched, you know.
And so this always happens. You always ask about the other guys in the house, just, you know, to see what's going on.
Right.
So she's, to Pittsburgh Matt, she's like, how's Kenny doing? And Pittsburgh Matt is like, you know what? I'm really worried about him.
Oh, that was nice of him.
He's like, I think it's really hard for him to be away from his daughter, and I think this thing with Lee took him down, and like, I'm really worried about this guy.
What a reasonable assessment of someone's mental state.
And I don't think it's some manipulative thing where he's like, I'm going to score points by showing empathy.
He's just
a really big, sweet guy.
And I think that is, again, you know, just the caliber of people that they have picked for Rachel is just really high, because somebody else that was on that season would never have brought that up like that.
No, what a thing for Pittsburgh Matt to say. I don't think he can win, but I do think that is the moment that, and like shortly after this, she talks to Kenny and he was right on.
And
she talks to Kenny.
Right.
Kenny really is having a hard time and she decides to let him go and Kenny's like happy about it. So overall, what a turnaround for Pittsburgh Matt.
Right.
Moment of the season for Pittsburgh Matt.
And I think he gets a one-on-one date this week, so I hope you are excited. Meanwhile, Peter gets the rose for that date. This is only...
Because obviously...
Right, duh. This is only the second rose that has been duplicated throughout this week, which is kind of a big deal, I think.
Yeah, and Peter's been very coolly losing roses in group dates.
Yes.
Like, it's obvious he's crushing these things, and then she gives roses to other people, and Peter's just like, I don't care. I know that I won this, so I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care. So it's cool.
So then we get to Will's one-on-one, a low point for me personally in the season.
You know, he is I mean, he's great. He's attractive. He's really warm and cute. And they look good together as, like, the two of them together. They look like they fit together.
It's not enough. So they get on the plane and go to Sweden.
Yeah. They get on the plane and go to Sweden. Which is where all these magical dates happen. Yes. And it already feels like something is kind of weird and it's a little bit off. There was a conversation that Will and Eric had, maybe before he left or something like that, where he's almost a little bit nervous about the date because he's pretty much only dated white girls. And you could tell on the date when he brought it up to Rachel. I knew what the follow-up question was going to be, but she was trying to be really diplomatic about it. Because once he said that, I'm sure her mind started to just flourish with a ton of questions. And, you know, I think what the show has done in a few instances is sort of address some of those conversations that haven't been had on the show with the guys, as well. So when they went back to that next shot where Eric kind of explained, like, here's what that means to a black woman hearing that and trying to date Will as a black man, that he's never dated anybody that looks like me. And what is that conversation like? And then what is her internal monologue when that happens? So I thought of all the things that they haven't done well this season, that was a nice tidbit to see.
I think Will made a huge mistake there.
Why?
Because if somebody approached me and said, "What do you, like, tell me about the types of girls you've dated," I wouldn't start with a skin color. I would start with, I date girls who wear glasses. Or, I date girls who are intelligent or who are outgoing, who I can leave with my friends without having to attend to them.
Right.
She straight up said, "Tell me about the girls you've dated." And he said, "I date white girls."
Right.
That's a bad answer.
Well, it would have come up. And it would have come up. And we don't know what the other context around her asking the question was either. You know, she said that, and then he might have said, "Well, what do you mean?" And then she said, "Well, have you dated black girls before?" And they just didn't put that on the show. But it would have come up, and when it did come up, I now understand why, in my mind, why they didn't mesh the way that they did. Because it almost seemed like Will was nervous because he didn't know how to approach her. And I know that once he said all that stuff, I could hear the wheels turning, because I've said that before to myself too, the wheels that were turning in her head, where she thought to herself, you know, okay, if you've never dated a black girl before, you know, what do you think of me? And if I'm the first black woman that you've ever dated, and you've grown up in sort of this existence where you've grown up around a lot of people that did not look like you, when you were approached by other black women as a viable romantic partner, do you even see them as an option? And, you know, those are all questions that you start to ask yourself. And then that becomes an internal judgment on yourself, where you start to think about, oh my God, am I even attractive? Does he think I'm attractive? He must not, because he hasn't even dated anybody that looks like me before. It's complicated, but it is the truth. Will, he blew it. That's it.
Will goes on this date, and the entire time all he can do is look around and say, "Man, Sweden's beautiful," and
didn't even touch her.
Yeah, they're not like standing close to each other. They're not like cuddling or snuggling.
It was very weird.
Not even like holding hands or like kissing or like some kind of light. You know, and like listen, I'm a guy who moves slow.
He does.
I'm a guy who moves slow.
He is.
I'm also kind of a cuddler.
You like, are.
You know, it doesn't make any sense. To be, like, you're not going to win anybody over telling them how beautiful the scenery is over and over and over again.
No.
It's just not going to work.
No. I mean, it just, yeah. I really had high hopes for Will. I really, really did.
You did.
I had huge hopes for Will.
I've been up on him the whole season.
Yeah. And, you know what? I think we'll be able to see him on Bachelor in Paradise when the show comes back on. unclear about who is rejoining TBD. The cast. TBD.
As far as this goes, you know, he gone.
He gone. So we get to the rose ceremony and, you know, we lose a couple people.
No, we just lose Alex. Just one.
Yep, we lose Alex.
Because we've already lost Will, so we only need to get rid of one more. And Kenny.
Yeah, we lose Alex. It's devastating. And guys, it's been 45 minutes and we've gotten through recapping and discussing and analyzing 4 hours of reality television.
Well, when you make a 2-hour show turn into a 4-hour show, it's remarkably easier to recap.
It sure is.
Let's go into power rankings.
So this is the best part.
Let's do power rankings.
We're doing the power rankings. We're doing the bold predictions. I'm excited.
Let's start at the bottom.
Yeah.
So there are 6 guys left. This is gonna sound interesting. I have a number 7.
Oh.
Number 7 for me is Bad Eric.
Okay.
Number 7 is Bad Insecure Eric sitting around the house by himself without Rachel present.
Yes.
Who is not fit to be with anybody.
Freaking out. Yes.
My number 6, I hate to say this, is Namesake Adam.
Same.
Who has defeated Anthony but serves no other purpose for
being
on the show.
Mine is also Adam. We have not heard, seen, discussed anything from Adam, and I'm just kind of like, how is he still on this show and Alex isn't on this show? How is he still on this show and Anthony's not here? I honestly don't get it.
Number 5, Blue Collar Pittsburgh Matt.
Pittsburgh Matt is also my number 5. Another person where, but it seems like, I think the niceness scale for Matt, because he does seem like the voice of reason, a little bit more than some of the other guys, because, you know, he'll get every once in a while, he'll say something and people go, oh man, that's really smart. I'm so glad you said that. Or, oh man, that was the nicest thing you've ever said. I want to hear more about that. And I think that is what puts Matt over the edge of Adam.
That'll get you through, but we're too deep for that to be making a difference right now.
Yeah.
Right?
Number 4.
Brian.
My number 4 is also Brian.
Man, I can't believe we did this.
I know. Well, we live together.
I think she likes Brian. I don't really like Brian.
I don't like Brian at all. I don't like Brian at all.
Well, let's just keep going. Who's your number 3?
Eric.
Ah, okay. We differ.
My number 3 is Eric. I think this is the fact that he had a one-on-one date so late in the game is going to keep him energized through to hometowns.
And you're talking good Eric.
I'm talking good into the process, Eric.
Okay.
Excuse me, into the journey, Eric.
I've got Dean at number 3.
Ooh, wow.
I feel like he's losing momentum.
Okay.
Because he's been on the group dates lately, and he is not a particularly good group dater.
He's pushed into the background.
He's kind of at a disadvantage because all the group dates are physical challenges, and he's by far the smallest of them.
Right.
And I don't think he responds to that well. He responds to it by trying to be competitive and out-hustle all the
other
guys.
And silly.
And he loses focus. Everyone loses focus except Peter. Peter's the only focused one on the group
Peter dates. Is so focused.
Peter is the best group dater in the history of the show.
Oh my god, I just want to go on group dates with Peter all the time.
So yeah, Dean slips because he's not making the most of his percent, and he should be. He's losing it.
I'm losing it. And then my number 2 is Dean for the reason that he is so...
sweet.
Yeah, and like, you know, not to use a phrase that has been driven into the ground, emotionally intelligent, and he's, you know, he's very kind. He seems like he has a good soul.
I like Dean. I think Dean's
probably
going to be the next Bachelor. He's adorable.
I mean, that is up for debate right now. No, that's not true. Dean is probably the next Bachelor.
He's the front runner at this point.
Yeah, can't be anybody else.
Nobody's going to settle into third.
No.
And I think because there's no clear third place finisher, they might just go with second place.
And Brian would be a horrible Bachelor.
Yeah, he's terrible.
Horrible.
My number 2 is Good Eric.
Okay.
Good Eric is on fire.
Good Eric is on fire.
Eric is the guy riding around the bumper cars. He's fun to be.
He's making silly puns.
I think at specifically this point in the show, you have to start looking around and saying, who do I really think I could go home to every day?
Yeah.
And Good Eric is somebody you could go home to every day.
Oh, man. I love being
good
home
Eric
with Good
Eric.
Good
Eric is the guy who just sits around the couch and watches TV with you, but he's singing and dancing all the time.
And
he's making jokes.
Yeah. Yep, making jokes.
Good Eric could win the show.
That's true.
If Peter weren't around, Good Eric could win the show.
Oh, my God. And, of course, both of our number 1s is Peter. I mean, he is...
You just cut and paste from what we've said.
He's great.
He's like, winning so
he's,
bad.
He's fun, and he's smart, and he's sexy, and he's...
His teeth don't touch.
Teeth don't touch like hers. I mean, he's a silver fox. He's sexy. I already said that. He's a great kisser. He's also sexy. What are you even saying?
He just doesn't... Like, there's so many ways that he's different from every other guy who's ever been on the show. Like,
yeah.
Like, he just doesn't care about getting bogged down in, like, the little stuff.
He's so cool.
He knows he's winning, and he just came into the show, and he's like, listen, I'm going to actually just do whatever it is that
I
do.
I'm here for Rachel Lindsay. And
I don't care about the little stuff.
Right, and people say that they're here for Rachel, but, like, they get bogged down for some of this other stuff. He is actually... doing it.
Yeah, he plays the game everyone tries to play before they get sidetracked.
Yes.
And on top of that, he just seems like a good person. So.
Save it. Okay, so now that we've talked about that, bold predictions. They showed us a teaser for, you know, what's going to happen throughout the end of the show. I have something to say.
Say it.
Does Peter leave?
Why would Peter leave?
I don't know, but it seems like the way that the trailer is being cut, that something is really devastating her, and it's devastating her enough where she is withdrawn from the process, and Dean has to tell her to get her together. And the only reason that someone like Dean, and in Dean's position, based on the rankings that we've given and how much she likes him, would be able to say that is if someone catastrophic walks out. And if it's Peter...
You think it's going to be Peter?
Or what if it's Brian? I don't know. It's got to be one of those two people.
No, because I was going to say, I think it's going to be Good Eric.
No, because Good Eric was still on the show.
As edited by them.
Okay, wow. Oh, my God.
We trade sides of this.
We do. All the time. Oh, my God.
I think Good Eric is going to leave. Because Good Eric shows the symptoms of not being able to handle alone time.
Yeah.
And when you make it to the final four, it is all alone time.
Yeah.
You get your 25%, and you can't squeeze the 26% out. You get exactly one quarter of it, and then you're sitting there alone the rest of the time. I think that is going to break Good Eric.
It seems...
I think it's a tournament of bad Eric.
Something else is going to happen. Now, you know, of course, we've seen a number of things that haven't really happened that did occur. Like, there was an ATV that was, like, overturned, and, like, that wasn't on the show. There was an instant...
The
Bloody Eye incident was totally taken out of context, and it was totally, like... not what had occurred. And, you know, so I don't know. But the way they cut it made it seem like somebody left or something occurred enough where, like, Rachel is, like, taking herself out of it, like, you know, throwing herself into a dark room.
That's all dramatization.
I know.
I think Good Eric might have a problem. It doesn't matter. She has to pretend she's not just into Peter the whole time. The rest of the entire season is just her pretending she's not going to jump into Peter's arms before she does.
I know, but, you know, would you blame her?
No, I'm saying.
You would jump into Peter's arms.
It's hard to make a TV show where she's just going to pick Peter. Like, it's hard to make a TV show about how competitive it is.
I mean, and it's been hard for them to make a TV show for years because, you know.
People have been picking people. First night.
Yeah, it's been hard for years. So they resort to these gimmicks and dumb stuff to keep us into it. But, you know, just get back to the basics, fam. Like, let me just watch the show in peace.
I think we may have seen the last of Good Eric. I think he's going to turn back into Bad Eric very soon. It's hard to come down from the one-on-one date intensity. It's hard to come down from that. I don't think Eric, of the six people left, I think he's the least capable of handling that.
And the other thing is that there is nobody that's really left on the show that can talk him out of himself, because all of the people that have been on the show that have been able to talk him out of himself,
soothers are all gone. Yeah.
Excellent point, Adam.
Let's end this thing.
We love you guys.
We'll see you guys again on Tuesday again next week.
I think so.
Yeah, one episode.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Happy holidays. And we'll see you later. Bye.
Oh, you don't know?
I told you that. I just like to keep it 100 and keep it real.
Great smile.
I know my mom.
I could actually have a ring on my finger. I've never had one before. I just saw the shark.
This finger is ready.